Good afternoon, Your Honors. Dan Bonifazi appearing on behalf of Linda Avery, registration 30645. May it please the court. Before I begin, Your Honors, I would like to reserve 5 minutes for rebuttal.
I'll remind you, counsel, but you can see the time running down.
Thank you. My client, Linda Avery, is appealing the trial court's order granting summary judgment in this case. In doing so, the trial court incorrectly made various findings of fact in violation of Anderson v. Vail Corp., 2010, Westlaw 358-4400. The holding in that court specifically provides that type of determination in assessing summary judgment is inappropriate. Probably the place to begin, or I'm sure that the panel's reviewed the record, the court's order almost reads like a court order following a trial to the bench. The court goes through various facts that both sides contend were disputed. The appellee is arguing that really, hey, we didn't remove the grass in the location where the plaintiff fell. We admit we were hired to do that. We admit we're the only contractor that the school district uses to do that. We have Dwayne Johnson in the record also explaining that as a service tech for Cherry Creek School Districts, they don't do that type of grass removal and asphalt. And I think it's important for the panel to note in this case, this was a 2,500 square foot removal of sod. The ground would then be leveled, asphalt would be applied to create additional parking. Now, Appley's brief goes into a lot of discussion about how Mr. Johnson in his deposition is talking about removing sod. And I think that's a clear red herring that I need to point out. What Mr. Johnson said, and I think if the panel looks, we have exhibit 52 and 51 of his deposition. They're both 358-44-44454s, exhibit 51 and 52 respectively. And in that discussion, Mr. Johnson testifies, he's asked, where are you doing work to the property? What kind of work are you doing? Mr. Johnson explains, in anticipation of the new asphalt, we were to remove sprinkler heads and build a railroad tie wall. Now, to remove sprinkler heads, it's what's occurring here is you're almost removing a grass donut around that sprinkler head so you can gain access to it, remove it, replace it. That's a far cry from coming in with a front loader, excavating 2,500 square feet of grass, leveling it, and then applying asphalt. And there's a lot of discussion in Appley's brief regarding that occurrence to suggest that, hey, maybe it was the school district that removed the grass on April 7th or April 8th, causing my client's injuries. I think at the very minimum, it's clearly material. Both sides feel it's material. It's being argued. Trial court assessed it and determined the credibility of that fact. But it's our position, it's clearly disputed. That was for the jury to determine. They could listen to the testimony of Mr. Johnson. They could assess the testimony of the CASI employees and decide for themselves who may have done that. I guess what that results in is a classic whodunit. There's no dispute the grass was grass and asphalt was to be removed and asphalt laid by Appley. I don't think that is in dispute. There was invoices, whether it's an estimate or an invoice, I don't think it makes any difference. That documentation confirms that Appley was hired to do the work in question, specifically remove the grass.
How are the fact finders supposed to infer that on, I think it was April 7th or April 8th, the day Miss Avery fell, how are they to infer that it was this defendant that removed the grass that led to her injury, as opposed to some other unidentified entity.
And that is the crux of the issue, I think, here. There was testimony by Mr. Kelly Wren and Mr. Fitzpatrick, and both are explaining that there was heavy equipment on site to do the removal. Even Tina Brown, who is the administrator for CASI, she testifies in her deposition, we are basically on call for Cherry Creek school districts. We do all their work, okay? And the trial court makes a finding, again, we question whether it was appropriate to make such a finding, but the trial court finds that there was no exclusive contract here, that there could have been another contractor there. Well, the fact of the matter is, and this is a key point, Your Honor, that you point out, Appley is saying on April 15th, they removed the grass, they laid the asphalt, and on May 5th, they were paid. It's not until the appeal is there this smoking gun that, hey, gee whiz, someone else may have removed the grass. In other words, why is CASI being paid for work, whether it occurred on April 15th or later, whatever they're arguing, if someone else did it?
Well, they don't dispute that they did some work there. They just say they didn't do it on April 8th, as I understand their position.
Well, I think it's to be more specific, they're saying they removed the grass.
On April
15th. That's what they were hired to do. Mm-hmm. They were, after it was removed, level the ground, install the asphalt. But if we're to go along the argument, what I'm calling this red herring, that Cherry Creek School District employees may have been the one to excavate the grass, that's in direct contradiction with the documentation in this case, CASI's own documentation that says, hey, we've been hired to remove it, remove the grass, put the asphalt, and we're going to be paid for it. In other words, on May 5th, to say it completely different, there was no new invoice submitted saying, hey, gee whiz, someone else did the excavation of 2,500 square feet of grass. We need to reduce our estimate here on what the school district's going to pay us.
No question, Reverend Fitzpatrick testified that somebody removed the grass who wasn't a Cherry Creek employee. They were independent contractors, but they don't identify it as being CASI, right?
That's correct.
So the question I have again is, how can the fact finder infer that it was CASI? And I gather your answer is, Ms. Brown admitted that her company had an exclusive contract with the school district. That's the basis for which they could infer.
Yes, with the exception of the word exclusive. I mean, the trial court makes the finding that there was no exclusivity to the contract. However, there's no evidence in the record to suggest that there was any other contract out there. So it is our position that it was, to use your word, exclusive.
Mr. Johnson still testify? Is it Johnson the
caretaker? Dwayne Johnson.
Yeah, he testified that nobody else removed grass
That's
in that
correct.
Period of time except for
the sprinkler heads. That's
he right. did, but did any other independent contractor remove grass during that time
other than
CSI?
He was clear on that. Okay. And we cite the deposition language in our brief. It's there's not a lot of confusion about that CCSD was not doing that. He explains that's the whole purpose of going out to get the contractor to do the work. We're not set up to come in and do it. Otherwise, we would have done it in the first place. And I think that's the part that concerns us. But I think, again, if you read the trial court's order, there's almost the expectation that we, as plaintiff, my client, was required to prove who exactly, eyewitness, direct testimony, removed that grass. And I think, again, because this case comes before the panel under Rule 56, it's our position that was just at least disputed. It's clearly material. It was in dispute. And the fact finder was denied the opportunity to assess those facts, determine for themselves the credibility of Mr. Wren, credibility of Mr. Johnson, credibility of Ms. Brown. And I think that was what the trial court usurped here. Clearly, when you look on page 3 of the trial court's order, there is a specific finding, and I want to quote it. The trial court states, the eyewitness accounts are likewise inadequate and moreover inconsistent, end quote. I mean, under the clear mandate of Anderson, that is inappropriate under Rule 56.
The mandate of Anderson that you're referring to, what does this Anderson case say that the prior summary judgment cases don't say? What's new about Anderson?
Well, you know, we can again rely on the trial court. Trial court on page one of its order says the trial court may not assess the weight of the evidence or credibility of witnesses in determining a motion for summary judgment and cites Anderson.
Cites Anderson, okay.
Yeah, so the trial court citing the very case we're citing, yet the court goes on to almost make that determination.
Must have read it differently than you.
I think there's a good chance of that, Your Honor. I'd like to reserve the remainder of my time.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Your Honors. My name is Jeff Leek, registration number 38338, and I represent Colorado Asphalt Services Incorporated, also known by its acronym CASI, C-A-S-I, in all capital letters. May it please the court, Your Honors, CASI is an asphalt company that has worked with the Cherry Creek School District for a number of years. As the court has probably become aware through reading the briefs, Ms. Avery was an employee of the Cherry Creek School District who alleges that she fell at her place of work at the transportation terminal on April 8th of 2008. There's simply no evidence to support Ms. Avery's claims that CASI was present at the transportation terminal in April of 2008 prior to April 15th of 2008. By contrast, CASI has provided three affidavits. First, the affidavit of Ms. Tina Brown. Ms. Brown is the assistant to the chief financial officer for CASI, as well as its safety manager. And Ms. Brown reviewed all of CASI's business records, including the daily work reports. And those business records show that CASI was only present at the transportation terminal on April 15th of 2008. CASI also presented the affidavits of two of its work crew supervisors. One of those was from the prep crew supervisor. The other was from the asphalt work crew supervisor. Both of those affidavits stated that the work that they performed was started and completed on April 15th of 2008.
Work reports part of the affidavits, or they're somewhere else in the record? I'm not sure I've seen those.
Your Honor, the daily work report was referred to by Ms. Brown in her first affidavit. She indicated that she reviewed all daily work reports.
Are they documents, work reports? Are they pieces of paper?
Yes, they are, Your Honor.
Were they entered into the record anywhere?
They came in through plaintiff's response to the motion for summary judgment as an exhibit. Plaintiff introduced those, and as the court pointed out in its order, the daily work reports show exactly what CASI had indicated in the affidavit, that CASI performed its work on April 15th of 2008.
Do you dispute that the plaintiff fell because of the grass?
That allegation is not in contention.
Okay. And is it your client's position that someone else dug up the grass?
Well, I think the evidence supports from the affidavits that plaintiff has provided that someone, an emphasis on someone, excavated grass.
Then why was your client paid for doing it if someone else did it?
Well, Your Honor, if the court is referring to the invoice, I would start with that the invoice can't speak for itself. It does rely on the affidavit of Ms. Brown. Ms. Brown has indicated that CASI was paid for removing grass on April 15th of 2008.
But if it had already been removed, why would your client be paid for removing the same grass that someone else removed?
Your Honor, one thing I could point to is there has been discussion of sod in this case, and if sod had been pulled out by work crews or by the Cherry Creek School District in performing their work, that sod could have been set apart. Set aside, and it could have been what CASI encountered on April 15th when it performed its work. That's just a bit of a hypothetical, merely that Ms. Brown's affidavit does state that Cassie was paid for removing grass on April 15th of 2008 and not prior to.
We have an affidavit looked at in the light most favorable, of course, to the non-moving party that someone was seen by plaintiff's affiance removing sod before the accident, correct?
Yes, Your Honor.
And that was the sod that plaintiff seemingly tripped on.
Well, factually, the plaintiff appears to claim that they tripped in an excavated area, but it does appear to be part of the plaintiff's claim that somebody removed grass prior to their fall.
And the plaintiff has excluded at least the other group. They didn't do it. They've said they didn't do it.
Well, is Your Honor referring to the Cherry Creek School District?
Yes.
Okay. First of all, Your Honor, I don't believe that premise has been fully established. I'd like to ask the court to, in reviewing the briefs, particularly plaintiff's response to the motion for summary judgment, that there was only five lines from Mr. Johnson's testimony introduced by the plaintiff in that response. And let me back up just a little bit. Cassie never raised the issue of that the Cherry Creek School District had removed the grass. It was plaintiff who first raised the issue that Cherry Creek School District couldn't have removed the grass, using five lines of testimony.
Is it reasonable to infer that if the Cherry Creek people removed the grass, that they would pay your client for doing the same thing?
Your Honor, I understand a bit there. There's been no actual testimony, though, regarding how much grass was actually removed. So,
but there was testimony from Mr. Johnson that was attached to your response, correct? Where he said that the grass was replaced right after it was removed from around the sprinkler heads.
Your Honor, I'm going to again point to sort of an expansive use of Mr. Johnson's testimony through the briefs. The specificity of the grass that was removed around the sprinkler heads, perhaps the court is reading that in the appellate briefs. And
it's in the record attached to your response to the motion for summary judgment.
And I will just offer that particular information was never offered to the trial court.
It was attached to your response to the motion for summary judgment filed in the trial court.
Your Honor, I understand. What we introduced was evidence that from Mr. Johnson that his crews had removed some grass when they built tie walls and when they removed the sprinkler system in anticipation of Colorado Asphalt Services work. We did not introduce any further information regarding what they'd actually performed.
Yes, but you agree that if it was attached to your response to the motion for summary judgment, that it was before the trial court, correct? Even if you didn't reference that testimony.
I would agree if pages were presented to the trial court that were not cited, it could be considered before the trial court. If I can continue, Your Honors, as I stated, Cassie did not raise the issue of grass removal. We offered that simply to rebut statements that were made by the plaintiff that the Cherry Creek School District could not have removed the grass. I'd also like to address the issue of the exclusive contract. Cassie testified that it had an ongoing contract, and by having an ongoing contract, I don't think at any point it's been established that another party couldn't have had access to this area. In particular, utility companies and plaintiff concedes that the Cherry Creek School District would have the authority to remove their own grass. Your Honor, I would ask the court to consider also that the affidavits in this case, as the court pointed out, did not in any way indicate that Cassie was present at the transportation terminal prior to Miss Avery's fall. They simply state that someone was present. Additionally, Ms. Eby settled her workers' compensation claim with the Cherry Creek School District in February of 2009, and to date, there's never been any allegation by the school district that Cassie was involved in what happened at the transportation terminal. And Cassie would ask respectfully that the trial court affirm that the court affirm the trial court's ruling, granting Cassie's motion for summary judgment. And if the court has any additional questions, I'd be happy to answer those questions.
I apologize, counsel. I misspoke a moment ago. You would have been the moving party, so it would have been attached to some of your motion for summary judgment or your reply in support of the motion for summary judgment. You wouldn't have been the responding party.
Yes, Your Honor.
Can the fact finder infer from the affidavits that the independent contractor who these witnesses saw do the work on April 7th was your client, given the fact that they had issued a work, I don't know what you want to call it, a bid on April 7th and an invoice on April 15th, so that sometime between April 7th and April 15th, that's when the work was done? Or is that totally negated by some other fact in the record?
Your Honor, I don't think that the fact finder has enough information based on just a simple description of contractors being present to draw the inference that Cassie was present at the transportation terminal a week prior to performing its work.
Suggesting that, given the fact that there was a bid, which your company admits making on the 7th, a bill, which it issued dated April 15th, which I take it Ms. Brown says means the work was done on or before April 15th.
Yes.
And the fact that the witnesses saw non-school district employees out there, workers out there, on April, I guess it's 8th. Can't the jury infer from that Cassie was had done the work on April 8th?
Well, I think for the fact finder to look specifically at documents like the estimate, it has to be considered that as a document, and again, the document cannot speak for itself. And here, the only person who has spoken to the business records, both the estimate and the invoice, is Ms. Brown. And Ms. Brown has testified that that is an estimate, and it indicates nothing more that Cassie has made proposed a price to perform work. And Ms. Brown has also testified that the invoice is what indicates that Cassie performed its work on April 15th of 2008. And I don't think there's any way to give inferences to the estimate outside of the voice of Ms. Brown through her affidavits.
Following up on my colleague's question, it seems to me that the judge resolved the case by deciding that your client's affidavit was accurate and no one else's was. Is the trial judge allowed to do that under the existing standards?
Your Honor, I've read the court's order, and I don't see that the court made the findings of credibility. In fact, when the court's order talked about credibility, it merely stated that in reference to some loose argument that the plaintiff put out regarding a dispute between plaintiff's attorney and Cassie's president and discussion of that during the deposition, and the court commented that it can't make determinations of credibility, but I think the court has given equal weight in all credibility to the plaintiff's reports or to the plaintiff's affidavits. It's just that those affidavits go no farther than stating that someone was present at the transportation terminal. And I see at no point did the court diminish the credibility of those affidavits.
Yes, we are. Well, we're not quite out of time. You have a minute and 24 seconds left.
Well, thank you, Your Honor, for your time.
Thank you.
Your Honors, I think we can even look at the way the formatting on the court's order to indicate whether or not these witness statements were considered. Again, on page 3, you have the trial court under bullet point 2 listing out eyewitness statements and going through an analysis and then comparing that testimony against Dwayne Johnson and Tina Brown. Clearly, there is credibility being assessed. You can also follow the court's reasoning in that it says that the defendant was the only company that would do the excavation, citing a response, this assertion is unsupported by the record. Well, again, the burden wasn't to prove the identity of the contractor there. Again, the standard is whether it's in dispute. And I think that's where we get back to exhibits 52 and I'm sorry, 51 and 52 that I cited earlier. And when you look at Appley's brief under statement of facts, most certainly is Appley citing Mr. Johnson regarding excavation of grass for the inference or implication misstatement that somehow CCSD was the one that removed the grass. There's no grass fairy here. Someone didn't come in here unbeknownst to excavate 2,500 square feet of grass for which Appley got paid. I think that alone allows the jury to come up and assess the credibility of Ms. Brown and determine what...
That may not be in dispute, but what date did they do it? Now, the work reports, according to Mr. Leak, show that the work was actually done on this date. I think they're cited as plaintiff's exhibit 10 in the judge's order, so there were actually exhibits attached to your brief. So if you filed a brief that shows work reports that the work was done on April 15th, is that the end of the story?
It isn't, Your Honor, because no one knows, not even Ms. Brown. She testifies this was an ongoing contract and that Cassi was present on numerous occasions, using the word on call. What that means is there's not a lot of clarity about when Cassi employees are there, except that they're at the beck and call of CCSD. It's a lucrative contract. But what we do know is Ms. Brown does testify that it's the policy for someone to submit the invoice. There's a 24-hour period of time in which that invoice is generated into probably a QuickBooks format. Then it's sent out. Once it's sent out, it's received and then paid. But according to Appley, all the work was done April 15th, that means excavating 2,500 square feet, leveling the ground, bringing in the asphalt, laying the asphalt, and then submitting that invoice that same day for which it's paid. And that argument is inconsistent with Ms. Brown's testimony. Again, beating the dead horse some more, the trial court took that opportunity from the jury. That was for the jury to determine. Hear Ms. Brown's testimony, hear Mr. Johnson's testimony, look at Exhibit 51, look at Exhibit 52, where he's drawing. Here's where I did the work. Here's where Cassi was hired to do the work. Here's where the grass was removed. And again, nobody magically removed this grass. It's gone.
It's undisputed that it was gone the day your client slipped and fell?
That's correct, Your Honor. Even the trial court, if you again look at page 3, second to last paragraph, it says, in addition, none of the eyewitnesses testified having seen workers doing asphalt work. That's what we've argued about. Only grass removal.
So someone removed the grass before your client slipped and fell. We know that.
That's correct.
And the only question is who?
That's correct.
Was it a good Samaritan or was it the person who got paid for it or... Well, I don't know. It's a mystery. It's a mystery case.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Well, I see that your time has expired, and thank you to both counsel for your arguments. We really appreciate them.